Good to see each of you this morning. I hope you have your Bible so we can study together. And if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, that's where we'll begin in just a moment. If you're visiting with us, we want you to feel at ease as you make your visit. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. If you'll show me my error, I'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that Brother Butler has suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess that Jesus is the Son of God and be immersed into Christ, to have your sins blotted out, be raised to walk in newness of life, or if you need to be restored to Christ, if you'll come as we stand and sing and make your way to the front, we'll be glad to assist you in any way. In 1 Kings chapter 19, I want to read one verse with you to get the thought for our study, and that's in verse 10. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. You know, when you make a study throughout the Word of God, you'll find that the emotions we feel today were felt in Bible days. Sometimes I think we get in our mind that the people of God that lived in the New Testament and the Old Testament days did not feel the same way we feel. But I beg to differ with that view. That though they may have lived in that time and their lives have been recorded, they had to go through some of the same things that we face in life. And one thing that I think we can put down is that at times life can be overwhelming. That there can be times in life where life can be very difficult indeed. And you know, I've had people come to me and say, Preacher, I don't believe that a Christian should be discouraged, that a Christian should ever be depressed. But you know, my friend, one may say that, but in life we do become discouraged, and there are days that we are depressed. And some days of our life we just face great trials. And what I want to talk about this morning is struggling to keep struggling. That is, that when we go through the trials of life, that we have to give all we have to hold on to our faith in God. Though some days we face great struggles, one thing I believe we all need to put down is that we cannot quit. And so as we make our study, I want to talk about holding on to God through our struggles. When you look in 1 Kings chapter 19 at this man identified as Elijah, notice that he had just won a great battle on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18. The prophets of Baal had been put to shame when the God of heaven sent down fire to consume Elijah's sacrifice, while that dumb idol Baal could not do anything. And then you'll remember that Elijah had all the prophets of Baal put to death. Then when Jezebel heard that her prophets had been put to death, she sought the life of Elijah, who fled into the wilderness. Here was a man who fled into the wilderness, and he calls out to God. And you know, my friend, in verse 4, he prayed that he might die. In 1 Kings 19:4, that man was so overwhelmed with life, he was so discouraged, he was so downcast, he prayed that God would just end his life. Now then, when we read a little later, he explains to God, he said, God, I have kept your word. I have done the things that you want me to do. And yet, look at the world. It's so wicked and vile. And I alone am left to serve you. So here is a man who was trying to do right. And now he said, they seek my life. And he is so discouraged. This man asked God to let him die. But I want you to note God's response. Have you ever known that God did not allow that man to just wallow in self-pity, but that God confronted that man? Notice in your Bible in verse 13 that God asked him a question. He said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah had gone into the wilderness. He'd gone into the cave. And then the Lord sent the great wind, the Lord sent the earthquake, the Lord sent the fire, and then the small still voice came and said, Elijah, what are you doing here? And notice Elijah in verse 14 makes the same statement that he made in verse 10. I've been zealous for the Lord. Look, Lord, everybody else doesn't seem to care, but I care about your cause. I'm zealous. And he said, I'm working for you. And he said, but notice what's going on in this world. Though I'm zealous for the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets. I alone am left, and now they want to take my life. So here is Elijah, and he feels a little sorry for himself, and notice that the Lord gives him a job to do in verse 15. He tells him, you go, return your way into the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nishai, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. Have you ever stopped to think about there was a man, Elijah, and he was struggling with his faith? And then God said, Elijah, get up and go. But then if you take your Bible, turn with me to the 55th Psalm. And when you turn to Psalm 55, you'll have one of my favorite verses in the divine revelation of God in Psalm 55 and verse 6, where David said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Now, we looked at Elijah, and we understand that man was struggling with his faith, and he was struggling to hold on. Now, we look at a man identified as David, and this man desires to have the wings of a dove to fly away. Well, why would David want to fly away? Is he not king over Israel? Yes. Is he not wealthy? Yes, sir. Does he not have power? Very much so. Does he not have prestige as the king? Very much so. But when you go back and look at what David was facing, David probably looked out from the castle and saw a dove flying away, and David said, I wish I could do that. Why, David? Well, David could say, I've got family problems. David's own son, Absalom, had led a rebellion to try to take the throne from David, and no doubt that broke David's heart. To know that his own family, his own kin, his own son would be willing to kill him for his throne. And when there are family problems, I'll tell you what that can do. That can cause great depression. That can cause great discouragement in life. It can cause one to struggle. But then I'll tell you, David also had to deal with his past sins. No doubt he's thinking about the sin with Bathsheba that brought a lot of this on. And no doubt David's saying, I wish I could escape that memory. I wish I could go back in time and undo what I've done, but I can't. If I could, I would go back into the wilderness, back to the days of my childhood when I worked as a shepherd tending the sheep. But David, can you sprout wings? No. And David may have looked out and saw his enemies and thought about in verse 12, maybe thinking about a friend who now had betrayed him. And he thinks about this one who at one time was his counselor and now they walk to the house of God, but now he's his enemy. Have you ever thought that David wanted to fly away? Have you ever thought of the struggles of this man? Have you ever thought that he felt overwhelmed? He felt depressed. He felt down. He felt discouraged. And when he looked out, he said, I wish I could get away from it all. If I could fly away like a dove, I would fly away from every problem. But then if you take your Bible, notice in the New Testament, a man identified as Paul. Open your Bible, if you will, kindly, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice what the man of God had to say in verse 8. Notice that Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Paul said, I'm down, but not out. Paul, did you get discouraged when you were facing all these issues? Oh, yes, I got discouraged. I got accused from within the church and from without. And the false accusations hurt. The unjust criticism hurt. Open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and notice some of the things this man of God had to face, beginning at verse 23. Notice he said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Now, Paul, what's your problem? Paul said, "Look at what I've been through. I have joy that I'm a Christian. I'm glad that I'm a child of God. But Paul, are you glad they beat you? No, I'm not. Are you glad they put stripes on your body? No, I'm not." And Paul said, "I've been down, but I'm not out. I'm struggling to hold on." And notice one thing that Paul was dealing with was church problems. He said, "I have upon me the concern for all the churches." I like his words, "my deep concern." He's concerned for all the local churches that he'd been a part of to help get started and to keep the faith. But then if you take your Bible, look if you will in 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, notice again what Paul had to say. In 2 Timothy 4, look at what he says in verse 14. Paul's dealing with an enemy. He said, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works." Now notice Paul's dealing with enemies. And he said, "This man's done me much harm." And then he warns Timothy, "You beware of him. He's greatly resisted our words." And Paul said, "Now God will take care of it. God is the one that I'm going to leave it up to." But Paul said, "I had to deal with enemies." So here is a man who's struggling to keep struggling. Paul's been in prison. Paul's been beaten. Paul's been down. But Paul has said, "I'm keeping my faith in God." He's struggling through his struggles. Now, I want to take that. I want to make application to our life and the lessons here. The first thing I want us to think about is all of us get discouraged and face struggles. We all have times where life is hard and some days are just very, very dark. You know, we have great days. We have good days. We have monotonous days where everything seems the same. But then some days we just struggle. Some days are days of struggling. So the question is, what do we get or what do we have when we struggle with? What are some things that causes us to struggle? Your struggles and my struggles may be different, but we all have something we struggle with. Some people struggle with family problems. Some people deal with a parent that is very defiant, a parent that doesn't treat them right, a parent that's not loving. Some have to deal with a child that's that way. Some have to deal with a spouse that's way. And I want to tell you, my friend, family problems can cause great heartache and cause someone to be downcast. And I'll tell you something, if you don't believe it, you just go through it. I got some news this week about one of my family members, and it just broke my heart. But I'll tell you, all I know to do is struggle to keep my faith in God. Secondly, we can get down because we live in a sin-sick, dark world where people just seem indifferent to God, where people just seem selfish, and where sin and wickedness abounds. And it can become overwhelming at times to think that we're alone, that we feel like we're the only ones left. Now, God told Elijah, "I still have 7,000 who've not bowed their knee to Baal." And we need to realize that there are others who are striving to do the will of God. But at times, this dark world, this sin-sick world, can cause you to have discouragement and depression. But I'll tell you something else. Church problems. When there are problems in a local church. Oh, I'll tell you, my friend, if you've never been in church problems, you consider yourself blessed because I've been in them. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more heartbreaking than to see the local church divide. To see the body of Christ torn asunder. And sometimes over the most ridiculous things. But then think about enemies. Or maybe somebody you consider a friend who tries to hurt you. They say hurtful words or give unjust criticism or they throw a rock at you. They are treating you ungodly. I'll tell you, that can discourage you. Some people don't mean to, but if you ever notice some people, even in their compliments, they give you a backhanded compliment. They got to throw off on you before they say something nice. But sometimes we can just feel stuck. We just don't feel like we're growing spiritually. And we're tempted to quit. So what do we do? What do we do when life is dark, our faith is struggling, and we're trying to deal with all the discouragement we're facing? First of all, we need to look at our brethren. Brethren can give us encouragement. Brethren can help us in time of need. And that's why you see the wisdom of the local church. We need one another. We need brethren who we can go to when we are in great distress that we can trust, who we know isn't going to gossip about us or tell our problems to somebody else, but we can just confide in them and it'll stay between you and them. And you just think about the fact that they're there for you. That means all the world when you're going through problems. When you have somebody you can trust not to go and tell everybody else, but that'll keep it between you and them, and they keep it quiet, but they're there to help you. I want to know, are you that kind of brother? Are you that kind of sister in the Lord that we could trust you to tell you our problems and know that it won't be told to everybody else, but you'll be there for them? That you'll put your arm around them, that you'll help them? Secondly, prayer. Oh, I'll tell you, never underestimate the power of prayer. How many times have I just got on my knees and I've cried out to my God because my faith was struggling, I was hurting, I was discouraged, I was depressed, and it didn't seem like anybody else would understand. And then to know that my God understands, how much that meant. Just to pour my heart out to God, like David of old, just tell Him everything I'm feeling. But I'll tell you a third thing. Study. Open your Bible to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. When Paul was in prison, what was it Paul asked for in verse 13? Paul said to Timothy, bring the cloak I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Paul, what did you want? Paul said, I want the Word of God. Even at the end of life, he was still a student of the Word. I'll tell you, my friend, we need to study because the answer to our problems is in the book. Everything that we face, we can go back and see somebody who's faced something similar. I'll tell you something else. We need to remember God's promises. In Hebrews 13:5, you remember the Bible says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When I feel alone, one thing I know is my God is there. That He won't leave me alone in my struggles. That He is there. He may not take away the storm I'm in, but He'll be there with me through the storm. And what a joy it is to know that my God cares. But I'll tell you something else you can do. Go to work. What did God tell Elijah? You go to work. You remember back in the days of Joshua, they had went up against Ai and they were defeated because of the sin of Achan. And you'll remember that Joshua comes before the Lord. He tears his garment. He falls in the dust. And he said, why did you lead us out only to be defeated? And you know what God said to Joshua? Get up. Why do you lie on your face? There's sin in the camp. And you need to get things right. And I'll tell you, my friend, there's a time that we just need to get up and go to work. Because no matter how bad we have it, no matter how bad we're struggling, no matter how much we are discouraged, there's always someone that's got it worse. And if we help them, maybe we can start to see our blessings and start to count the good things in our life. And instead of always complaining, we start giving God praise for the blessings we have. I wanted to try a challenge for the East Side group. And I'll tell you what, I'll be just as challenged. Especially with some things going on in my life. But let's just try to go this week. We call it Thanksgiving. Let's just go this week without saying anything negative. How long do you think you'll last? Do you think we'll get out the door? And we need to remember where we're going. Look at what Paul said in Romans chapter 8. When the Apostle Paul penned this letter to the church at Rome, he was facing many things. And he said, you're going to face many things. But he says in verse 18, I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He said, it's nothing. It's light compared to where we're going. It's not even comparable. But I want to tell you one last thing in the lesson series. One of the things that really causes discouragement and causes me to struggle is when I see people that I care about and they're not right with the Lord. But I don't want them to be baptized for me or for their parents or for their children or for anyone else. I want people to see how much God loves them. And to come to God and become a child of God and have their sins blotted out. Because I'll tell you something, when you have God as your Father, then no matter whatever the problem is, you know that the Creator of the universe looks down at you and He says, that's my child. I've had to let my children go through difficult situations, but I've always been there. Not to remove the situation, because if they didn't go through the situation, they wouldn't grow. But I'm there to protect them. Every morning when Mary gets up to teach school, Sam says, why are you trying to ruin my childhood? He's got to learn. And God puts us in the school of life for us to learn. And sometimes the only way we're going to learn and to grow our faith is to go through the struggles and trials of life. But I want you to know you've got a family here that cares for you. Are you struggling? Do you need prayers? Are you outside the body of Christ? I tell you what you do. Obey. Because in heaven, there will be no more struggles. If you need to obey the gospel of Christ, we pray you come.